You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network.
What up, people? Welcome into the Invitation Podcast. I am so glad that you accepted the invitation to join in with us today. And let me just say this, Merry Christmas to you guys. It is so good to be back on this thing with you. And let me just say, that is something that's going to take some getting used to. I'm new to the podcast world, obviously, but I'm used to saying that it's good to be here with you because I'm preaching to people or talking with a group of people. So I'm used to saying it's good to be with you, but I guess since we're on the podcast, I got to say it's good to be on here with you. But actually, you know what? I don't want to do that. I'm going to say it's good to be with you because we are actually kind of having this conversation through headphones and it's like that we're with each other. So it's good to be with you guys today. And listen, I am hoping and praying that your Christmas has been absolutely incredible and that Santa has brought you everything that you wanted and then some. Now, kids, close your ears here. Okay, close your ears. If you guys, for those of you listening, if you've had to be Santa to family or to a bunch of people in your life, I'm hoping and praying that someone has taken it upon themselves to be Santa to you, even in the smallest of ways, dinner or a massage, something, you know what I mean? So congratulations to you guys for just being unbelievable parents, family people, just unbelievable person in general to the people around you in your life. But let me just say this on the most real down-to-earth level. I think we're all going to be able to resonate. I am praying that our credit cards finally cool down from swiping those things one too many times this holiday season. I'm telling you what, if I took my credit card and put it in my back pocket right now, it would burn a hole straight through my pants. That thing needs to slow down this holiday season. It's just like things never-ending pile up as you get to the end of the year, you know? It's like every time you have something to buy, a gift for somebody, you turn around and it's like, oh, the car needs to be worked on, or oh, you got a leak here, you got something there, and it's like, really, Lord? Like, are you really allowing these things to happen right now? Like, why, God, why? So I feel you on a spiritual level on everything just kind of piling up on you towards the end of the year, but kind of on a more real note on something that's a little bit heavier, but I want to just throw this out here because we know it to be true. Many of you are having the best Christmas you've ever had in your life. Like, this has been a time of absolute joy, love, harmony, peace, fellowship. It's been amazing. And let me just say to you guys, I'm so happy for you. I'm thrilled that it's been just a blessed year and you love capping it off with all these amazing friends and family and love in your life. That's amazing. But for some of us, that's not how things are going, you know? I mean, I've talked to a lot of people where this has been the hardest year of their life, and Christmas has really been a time of reflection where they go, man, this is my first Christmas without having this person here. You know, that chair is empty because they're no longer with us, whether that was by death or by them just kind of walking out of your life or whatever it is. And I don't know, it could be a financial struggle, it could be a health struggle. And let me just say this, regardless of where you land on that spectrum of people, this is not for either or, this is for both and. And so I want this place to be a podcast, to be a community of people where we can really come alongside one another and say, hey, regardless of what you're going through, whether you're on one end or the other or everything in between, this is a spot where you can know we are all struggling together. We are co-strugglers and co-laborers for Christ. And maybe you're not necessarily following the Lord here, but let me just tell you, you're going to hear about him some. And I invite you to just join in on this thing because we're going to talk about a lot of different things. But today I want to talk about things that mostly revolve around the Christmas season. Can we do that together? Because that's the plan. And let me take a swig of coffee here because you guys are going to wonder, what is this pause here? For those of you that don't know me, coffee is what I like to call the lifeblood that fuels champions. Now, I think I got to talk to my producer about this. We got to have something on the podcast where you guys send in like mugs or coffee beans from your part of the country and we just like rate and judge it. I need to like film the podcast so we can talk about it. But we can call it Luke's Coffee Corner or something. And wow, I got to be honest, I immediately regret that decision to call it that. Officially, Luke's Coffee Corner is off the table because of how cheesy and terrible it sounds. I apologize for that. So if you guys have a better name, go ahead and throw it out there. I guarantee you it's better than what I just came up with. So Let's talk about some Christmas things, though. And the first thing I want to get to before we really jump in is to let you guys know that we are going to get into the scripture a little bit today. For those of you, again, who don't know me or know what I do as much, I teach the Bible, I preach, okay? That's my thing. I love it. I love God's word. I love Jesus. I love pointing people to Jesus through the Bible, not just in the Gospels, but how all of God's word points to Jesus Christ, our Savior, come to us. And that's what we celebrate in this Christmas season. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 a little bit. So in case you're chilling at home and you're like, man, I really want to get my Bible out and a pen and paper and jot down some notes. If you're like me, you're a note taker, you love notebooks and that kind of thing, and you're overly organized because, you know, you're a one on the Enneagram like me. Or maybe some of you, you don't have access to a Bible and you're on the road and you're like me too, where most of the time when I'm listening to a podcast, I'm on the road or I'm working out, mostly not working out. Don't get it twisted. Mostly in the car. When I'm working out, I'm typically huffing and puffing so hard that it's taking everything in me to not lose blood flow to my brain because it hurts so bad. Getting in the car, I like to kick back, listen to a podcast. You might be the same. So the other thing I'd encourage you guys to do is maybe if you are at home, something in this conversation is going to strike up a thought within you, and you're not necessarily going to be like, oh, that was good, Luke. I'm going to write that down. And you certainly are free to do that, but you might have a moment where you go, you know what? This is making me think about something a little bit differently. I have some more thoughts, some more questions on this, and it really just helps you dive a little bit deeper into who Jesus is, what he's done for you, and how much that means for you. Maybe it's a lot about how you found a huge truth that you've never found, or you missed this huge chunk of grace, and those both kind of come together and just blow your mind a little bit, you know? The Bible never ceases to blow our mind. It's living and active, and I'll tell you, it's something that'll just absolutely change your life. So we're going to get into it, but first, you know, I wanted to talk about something else, something that's kind of been on my mind before we just jump like both feet into the scripture here. Big swig of coffee again so that I can get my mind right. I wanted to start the show off a little bit here by noting something that's really been on my heart and my mind lately, and that's how significantly my perspective has changed recently over the Christmas seasons that have passed, right? I think this comes with maturity, with age, experience, something that, you know, you probably wouldn't get if you're not maybe even out of college yet. Maybe you're in college and you're there and you'll understand with this, you'll resonate with it, but maybe you won't. Maybe it'll be something where you go, man, I don't know. But I think the evidence for this becomes incontrovertible the older we get and the more that we kind of go through life. And it's this, that Christmas really used to kind of be made or broken based on if we got what we wanted to or not. And it was really kind of this selfish thing, right? I mean, it's weird. If I don't get exactly what I want, if I don't get, you know, the pony, which is extreme, I've never asked for a pony, but, you know, a laptop, the iPhone, the iPad, you know, this is max kind of like holiday, but also, you know, maybe even the simpler things. You wanted some sort of case for your computer, or you wanted like a journal, you didn't get the right color, you didn't get whatever, and you're kind of like, man, I wish I'd have got that. We kind of make it this selfish thing where as you're growing up, it's like, man, what can I get that I want? I want this thing. Why don't I get this thing? I need it. I want it. Lord, let Santa give it to me. And then later on, Lord, let them make sure they don't get the wrong thing, you know? And it's just kind of selfish. And so I got curious. I was like, maybe I'm being dramatic about this, as my wife would tell you I tend to be. But I wondered, what kind of money are we spending on Christmas? I know maybe this could just be an American culture thing, but, you know, maybe it's not as bad as I thought it was. Well, it turned out it's actually a little worse than I thought it was. We spend on average, according to ABC News, a total of $465 billion. That's right. You didn't mishear that. B as in boy, billion dollars every Christmas, every time. As a country, $465 billion in gifts. And it's just, there's a part of me that goes like, man, like, I love how God's blessed this nation. I love how he's blessed people in order to be able to spend that kind of money. The average American spends about $700 on gifts for their family. It's just like, is there something better we could be doing with that money? Do we need to spend to that kind of excess? Is that gluttonous? You know, what's going on there? But I wanted to say this, you know, in that same line of thought, that while that's something that's going on. I do think that the older and older we get, at least in my experience, and I believe that you'll be able to understand this as well, Christmas really becomes less and less selfish of a mindset as we go through life, as we go through struggles and hardships and disciplines and trials. I have to say that as I come up on Christmas every year, I begin to think a little bit back on how thankful I am for things that you can't really quantify. They're just really those quality things in life. Like without these, I could have all the treasures in the world, but my soul would feel empty of and void of things that I need. So it's like you come to understand, I'm thankful for love. I'm thankful for family and friends. I'm thankful for my health, man, especially the things I've gone through in the past few years. And I'll share those in a different podcast. But you know, those things that we tend to call enjoying the simple things in life, I really think we kind of trivialize that a little bit. Those aren't the simple things in life. Those are really the significant things in life as we get older. And I think we get more in tune with the idea that the real treasures in our life aren't the things that we can accumulate as we live our life, but it's really just the ability to even live our life and enjoy it, not with the treasures of this world, but with the people we love. And most importantly, to walk with God, to know God, to love God, and to really be able to do that through the reconciliation that Jesus paid for by his atonement on the cross for our sins. But it really begins with his incarnation, God coming to us in the flesh. And so it's just this amalgamation of thoughts that I have as I go through my day where I go, Lord, I'm just really thankful for things that people call simple, but they're really and truly significant thoughts that I've had, and I know thoughts that you've had the older and older we get. God, thank you for health. Thank you for family and friends and fellowship and love and for your son, Jesus. We know this, right? That ultimately, the biggest gift to us isn't something that we find under the tree. The biggest gift that was ever given to us was actually nailed to a tree in the person of Jesus Christ. And we'll get into that in a second. But I wanted to just go ahead and make sure you don't think I'm practicing my own righteousness before you by preaching to you with something like that. I want you to know this is a conversation more than it is anything else. And let me just say that while I think we spend a lot of money, that doesn't mean that I don't like getting nice things. Hello. My wife would tell you I have champagne appetite, and the reason that she would tell you that is because, well, she's right. But I gotta say, this year, I asked for things that are like those things that you hated getting as a kid, right? I asked for books and shoes and clothes, and it's like when you open a box when you're a kid and it was closed, you're like, oh, thank you for nothing. You hate me. Why do you hate me, mom and dad? What is going on? You know, like those things that we hated, I'm now like, yeah, socks, let's go. You know, books, come on, baby. I can't wait to just put my face into this thing and absolutely read it cover to cover in a night, man. Like, yes. And back in the day, I'd have been like, if that thing is not an Xbox, let me tell you. But now I get shoes. I'm more happy than Dobby was when he got a sock. Okay. That's just the way that I'm feeling. So enough of that, though. I know you guys have things that you wanted as well, and I'd love to hear that from you. Go ahead, comment on like my Instagram. I'd love to hear what you guys asked for and what you guys got and what you think about these thoughts, because I'm telling you, it really is. Like, I'm more excited for the books that I get today than I am for the Xbox that I got 15 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever it is. I want to jump into this text though, man. This is something that I'm passionate about. Luke chapter 2, I want to read verses 22 through 34. And I want to do that because this is a story that maybe isn't the most traditional Christmas story in the sense of the wise men and the angel and coming to the manger and Mary wasn't let into the inn and all this stuff. It was this huge issue. And you know, this is a little different. This is really looking at the life of a guy that I think is so underlying and significant in the Christmas story, really just post-Christmas narrative, but I think it's so unbelievable. It's right there on the heels of the Christmas story, and that's what I want to read. So if you don't have a Bible, no worries. I'm going to read this to us and just kind of interject with some thoughts along the way. Luke chapter 2, verse 22, it says this, And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him being Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Interesting side note here on those first few verses. In case you've ever wondered if Jesus was poor, or you haven't been quite convinced that he was poor, like people had to just be shoveling money to him as he's performing these miracles, like, not at all. You even see in his upbringing that Jesus wasn't overly privileged financially in any sense of the word. And the reason that I can say that with absolute certainty is because you see it right here when it says that what was presented as a sacrifice in the law of the Lord, what Mary and Joseph were able to afford, was a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. According to the law in Exodus, or rather in Leviticus chapter 12, verse 8, what it tells us is that if you couldn't afford to bring a lamb to sacrifice, then you could bring doves or pigeons. So really the Luke version of that is like, hey, if you're financially strapped, leave the lambs. It's all good. Bring your doves, bring your pigeons. And so that's what they do. But then we get into verse 25, and this is really who I'm interested in talking about today. Verse 25, chapter 2 in Luke, it says, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. That's my boy. That's my guy. That's Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, when you read that, when you hear that, you got to understand that word consolation, waiting for the consolation of Israel, that word could be translated from the original Greek word to also say comfort. So consolation or comfort would both be applicable here. So you could read it as saying waiting for the comfort of Israel. That's what Simeon was doing. The Message translation says that Simeon lived in prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. I love that too. It's a great translation. It's one of those that makes you go, man, I want to live prayerfully and expectant for the Lord, man. That's what I want to do with my own life. You keep reading. It says, and it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a promise that is. You will not see death until you see the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. Hold on to that right there. Hold on to that right there. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Isn't it worth noting right there how good God is, that he fulfills promises, that he promised Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would see the Lord's Christ before he departed from this earth, before he died. The Holy Spirit revealed it to him, and God made it so. God made it happen. He fulfilled what he said was gonna happen. And so I don't know what you're praying for or what you're praying through this Christmas, but let me just tell you, if God promised it, it's gonna happen. If God promised it, he's preparing it. That's how God works. Now, I'm not saying this. Listen to this. This is important. I'm not saying that you're going to get exactly what you want. I'm also not saying that you're going to get what you want by the way that you want it. God might use you in a different way than you wanted to be used. He might bring you to the place that he's prepared for you in a way that you did not find comfortable, that you did not want, that you did not expect. He might not even bring you to what it is that you wanted or that you think was promised to you, but he might bring you into something better that he actually has promised to you. You just misinterpreted it in your own head because you read the scriptures and you go, okay, God, I think you're having me move down this path. And as long as you're seeking God's will, as long as your will and God's will line up, it's never a certainty the way that he's going to bring us there. But let me tell you something, if he has promised it, he's prepared it, and you better be prepared yourself to move in the direction that he's called you to go, to really pick up your cross and follow him into whatever it is that he's called you to follow him into so that you can get where he's called you to go. You look at verses 33 and 34. Simeon comes to Joseph and Mary, and Simeon, you hear this. I love the imagery we have here of Mary and Joseph. It says they marveled at what was said about their son, Jesus. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." I think this is interesting. I don't know what you guys think about during the Christmas season, but I often think about, regardless of any season I'm in, how does what's happening in the culture around me intersect with the scripture and the word of God that I know to be true living within me? And so I look at everything happening during the Christmas season, and I think, you know, I was talking to my producer about this, and it was like, isn't it interesting that currently, everywhere people go, they're hearing Christmas music, and nearly all of it is about Jesus Christ. Whether you're a believer or not, people love Christmas music. Now, not everybody. I know that's a very hotly debated topic, you know, and it's contingent upon a lot of different things in your life. But whether you're in shopping malls or whether you're just on the radio or you're just kind of walking around outside, like, Christmas music is being pumped out of speakers everywhere right now. It's being pushed into our ears, whether we like it or not. Think about it. Hark the herald angels sing. Silent night. O come all ye faithful. Joy to the world. O holy night. Away in a manger. The little drummer boy. The first Noel. O come Emmanuel. Well, all these songs are about Jesus Christ. And I think it's interesting when you hear all these songs, I don't know if the first thing you think about is, oh, they're talking about the Savior of the world. Like, that's not necessarily something that I think is going through our minds, but regardless of what is going through our minds, that's the reality of the content that we're hearing. That's the reality of what Christmas is about, and that's what these songs revolve around, the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who's come into the world. And so it's amazing to look back on this scripture, to think about where we are right now, and to think about where Mary and Joseph were back then as they go into the temple with this young infant Jesus, right? You got to think about how traumatic the past few months have been for this couple, this young teenage couple. I mean, can you imagine being Mary, how traumatic, especially for her, it's been? I mean, for Joseph, it's been emotionally traumatic, but for her, it's been physically and emotionally traumatic. You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine? So, like, an angel just, like, pops into your room in the middle of the night. It's like, hey, how you doing? Just on mission here from heaven. I know you might be terrified right now, but, you know, be at peace. I know I'm just like this gigantic lightning rod that just popped into your world. But let me just tell you something. Good news, you're pregnant. And the bad news is, I don't know if you wanted that or not, but let me just tell you, it's a good thing. You found favor with the Lord, Mary. The bad news is that you're going to have to tell Joseph also. And, you know, we'll see how that goes. But just know God will be with you. You're pregnant. It's by the Holy Spirit. And so, yeah, we'll see you later. And then just back to heaven. And Mary's just sitting there like, okay, you know, all right, like, let me talk to Joseph and see what he thinks about this. And you go to Joseph and it's like, hey, honey, my sweet fiance, how you doing? And I'm sure Joseph's like, oh, hey, what's up? I can't wait to get married. Like, let's talk about it, you know, like marriage counseling, all those things. And Mary's like, yeah, about that. We got to talk about something. So I'm pregnant. And let me just tell you, though, it's God. I wasn't sleeping around. It's from God. And so, like, you got no reason to worry. And Joseph's like, that's not a satisfactory thing. So an angel's got to come to Joseph. They got to talk about it. I mean, then they go and they're traveling. They're trying to find somewhere where Mary can have this baby, somewhere where they can lay their head at night, and they can't find anywhere. And so they end up having to go to the inn, and it's just this chaotic mess in their lives, right? But eventually they find some hope. They find a place where they can have this child. But man, they get to Simeon in this moment, and you think about how absolutely infectious his words had to be. That encouragement that they get from Simeon probably meant the world to them. He's just telling them how amazing this child is going to be. And that's like this beautiful news. But then just as they're getting this beautiful news, he kind of pierces Mary's soul with a difficult truth to hear. And it's that a sword is going to pierce her own soul. But by her pain, many other people's pain is going to be relieved through the pain that this child suffers growing up. And I don't think Mary had any idea what she was getting into. But man, she knew it was supernatural through everything that had taken place. She didn't understand that God was going to have to wreck her life in order to save so many other people's lives, including mine and including yours. And this is something that was prophesied long ago by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, right? Like, we knew that this baby was coming, and we knew that it was going to come in the way that it came, by a virgin. Isaiah said in chapter 7, verse 14, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will be called Emmanuel." Matthew 1:23 echoes it when it says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him," what? Emmanuel. And so here's the thing that I wanted to really leave you guys with today. Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel. What does that mean? That he will be called Emmanuel. What it means, and when we sing these songs, that I really want it to resonate with us and really just stick and stay in our spirit and really be planted in our heart, is the meaning of what Emmanuel is. It means God with us. And because God is with us, we can have peace. And it's the same peace that we see Simeon feeling in the scripture. You see that? Simeon has so much peace after he holds this baby, this Jesus. He says, "This is the hope, the joy, the peace that has been brought into the world. I feel peace in my spirit because my eyes have seen the Christ. I have held the meaning of Christmas. I have held Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And the peace I have is so great, I'm ready to depart from the earth right now." It's so palpable and unbelievable that it has just absolutely taken me over. And regardless of what happens in my life, regardless of what has happened, is happening, or will happen in the future, I know that I am holding the reason and the purpose, the meaning of life right now. And this peace that I'm holding right now is peace that is going to live within me and that I can carry with me in any and every situation. That's the peace that you can feel today. And like I said, I don't know what's going on in your life, but that's extremely important. I want you to feel that peace and know for certain that God is doing something through you and in you that's so unbelievably powerful, because the peace that you're holding onto is the same peace that Simeon held onto. And he said, "God, you have fulfilled everything you said you would. Go ahead and take me from this earth. I can depart from here because I have seen the glory of your son." And I think we skip over the power of Christmas too much. I think we look at Jesus' birth and we simply see it as a means to an end. We see Jesus coming to earth and say, yeah, you know, him being born is great, but the only purpose of it is that he can get to the crucifixion so that we can see the resurrection, right? Like, Jesus had to come so he could die. So yay, he's here. But really, we're looking forward to that moment when he is resurrected. But I'd say we need to look at the incarnation with the same reverence that we look at the crucifixion and the resurrection with. God came to us in the flesh as a baby infant child, and he said, "I'm stepping into the mess. I'm stepping into the chaos. I will bring order to the chaos. I will bring meaning to the mess." And that's what we have in Jesus, that peace that makes everything else. It restores shalom to our world, and we can say, we can take that deep breath and say, "God's with me." We know that the gifts weren't given to us under the tree to be the meaning of Christmas, but we know that it was nailed to a tree. And so we can be thankful for that today. And let me just tell you guys, you have that peace today too, that you can hold on to the same peace that Simeon held on to all those years ago when he held Jesus. And so let me just tell you guys, I'm loving this so far. I'm loving the whole podcast thing. I can't wait to continue on with this. Hit me up with your thoughts and ideas. You can follow me and keep up with me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Luke Lazon. It's just my name, all lowercase, no spaces. I can't wait till we get back on this thing. Again, you guys have a Merry Christmas. The next time I talk to you, it'll probably be next year. So 2019, it's going to be amazing. I'll talk to you then. You guys have a blessed and Merry Christmas. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Invitation with Luke Lazon. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. For more information about this show, visit convergepodcastnetwork.com.